Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Good day, everyone, and welcome back to this edition of Connor's Corner. I am thrilled to be with the National Parents Organization for their inaugural show here on Connor's Corner, and with their executive director, Rita First Adams. The National Parents Organization appointed Rita First Adam as the National Executive Director in February of 2012. She led the team that developed the new name, the brand, and its website. A native of Ohio and a current resident of Boston, Rita has more than 30 years' experience in not-for-profit management, organizational development, and fundraising. She specialized in serving new and engaging and emerging organizations to create and build affiliates for the national organization and in establishing its fundraising program. Rita is the author of several articles and the editor of a book on fundraising regulations and laws. She's earned her MBA from Capital University and has her BS in journalism from Ohio University. I'd like you to welcome Rita First Adams to our program today. Rita, how are you?
Real good, Mike. Thank you for asking me to join you.
It's indeed my pleasure, and I suspect that we will have many, many listeners in the not-too-distant future who want to know what is going on with the National Parents Organization, first off, and secondly, what exactly is it that drove you or invited you to be a part of this organization?
Well, interestingly, I've got some history with National Parents Organization before that February 2012 date. I had been selected out of a list of 10 consulting organizations to join what was then Fathers and Families, now, of course, National Parents Organization, to help them build their organizational structure, their fundraising, and take the organization to the next level. And I did that with the founder, Ned Holstein. At that juncture in 2012, the then current executive director, Glenn Sachs, decided to leave for other ventures and other things that he and his family wished to accomplish. And since I was the one person who the board looked at as a trusted advisor and one who knew more about the organization than anyone else, they asked if I would step in and join them and take on this challenge. So it's been quite a journey in terms of moving into this role with National Parents Organization, and it was just at the point that the board, and interestingly enough, through the strategic plan that I had led the volunteers through and helped develop to a plan that says we are moving to a national organization, we are moving to, you know, beyond Massachusetts borders and into other states, and we are going to change the name, change the logo and everything about us, but keep the same fine mission, vision, and core principles that have been the base of all of our beliefs and our work from the beginning in terms of shared parenting and gender equality in the family law system. What has always attracted me about the organization is that I really believe that when National Parents Organization and our illustrious board of directors is successful, it will be one of the most major social changes this country has ever seen. And I've told them from the beginning, I want to be here when we're successful.
Well, good for you. That is a fascinating storyline. I mean, Fathers for Equal Rights, working with you as the executive director, and then implementing your change of plans and your new strategy. How wonderful for you to pick it up and run with it from this point forward.
It has been an exciting 2 years, I will admit, and I feel that we have been blessed in many ways with some fabulous talent on the ground. Our whole logo and branding and brand image, two professionals, very wonderful professionals, both came forward as pro bono because they're our members and led us through that whole process. We have a very creative website designer who has helped us really put a face to National Parents Organization that much more reflects what we've always been about, that, you know, we're in this for the children and that what we're protecting is children to be able to continue to be loved and nurtured by the parents that they know, whether those parents have ever been married, whether they're divorced and are no longer living together, whether they are non-traditional couples in any way, shape. What we're protecting is that these children have the right to be nurtured by the parents that they know and love from their birth.
Well, I certainly want to get into more about those issues in particular, but a couple more things about you, if we could, on this initial call, Rita. Well, tell me a little bit about what your intentions are about growing this organization. How is it that you found it when you first came in to execute the plan that you were just speaking of?
Well, at that point, the organization had, we were really structured for a statewide organization, number one. It was very much structured to make progress in Massachusetts. Two, we had a broad media base and attention, but still were not known in some of the circles that we needed to be known. So in these 2 years, we've set the base and for really, one, structuring ourselves to take in volunteers across the country. We now have We went totally virtual as well, so all of our systems are accessible online. We have systems that we can log our volunteers into, and they can access information 24/7. We are continuing to build that and strengthening that. We have probably close to 300 volunteers across the country, where before all we had were volunteers in Massachusetts. So we're structurally getting to the point that we're ready for that next growth level. There are still some pieces that, take more time and resources than we currently have, and that's what we're building for now, is how do we build out to the point that we can really much more productively be a resource to the volunteers in the field, because they're the key to making change in state legislatures across the country.
Very interesting. Well, as they say, if it was easy, everybody would do it, Rita. And of course, it's not quite easy. And you got, as best I can tell, your position nationally, but you execute locally. So that locally would indicate you must have something like 50 state organizations, or would there be more or less at this point in time? And how do you see that growing?
At this point in time, we have 16, and what we're putting together at this point, I see our growth coming in a few directions. One, we need to find allies, other organizations who believe like we do and who will provide us their name and their attention and reach out to their membership as well to promote the whole idea of shared parenting and gender equality and family law in the various states. Because having other voices at the table, the people who deal with the children who have been caused problems by family law, we think would be wise to have them as allies at the table to help explain, on a day-to-day basis, what they see in the school, room and other places that, they're dealing with the fallout of what's happening in family courts. In addition to that, we need more media attention because we need it both at a national level and then as we work with affiliates at the state level to support their efforts and let their own state legislators know this is an issue and you're reading about it in the newspaper for this reason, or there's an interview on TV or radio for this reason, and then it starts hitting home much in a much more impactful way than we're accomplishing at this point. We need to expand our communications so that our volunteers are much more informed as far as what's happening in the various states. And I think with these and building out some of the, continue to build the tools that we've been developing for volunteers, we'll be able to, by the end of next year, I think easily 25 states. And the other part of this is that we'll be focusing our attention in 2015 much more on temporary custody orders, knowing that that's the beginning of the whole process that families go through in the family court system. And if we nip things there, that if the it helps us and helps the children and the parents stay much more connected, and it provides an easier road down the way through the rest of the family court system.
That's fascinating. A quick look into what 2015 will be heading in that direction and increasing the states, obviously. Tell me why, what is relevant about temporary orders? Many of our listeners may not have heard of what temporary orders means and may even be oblivious to the fact that the family court system is a little bit less than honorable. Tell me a little bit about the background there and specifically what you're saying.
Well, when parents, and remember, we're dealing with every parent under the sun, every configuration that's out there. And so we're really talking about the parents and their relationship with their children. And, you know, before their separation or divorce, and some of these people have never even lived together, the child, though, still interacts with both parents, and oftentimes on a daily basis, or at least on a regular basis that's natural for the children. And it's critically important that those children continue that bond with each parent and that they have as much opportunity as possible to continue that through whatever development is going on with the parents, because that's beyond the children's control. But to have the knowledge and to have the reassurance that they're seeing both parents on a regular basis and continue to have the love and care of both is extremely important to the children at that stage. And it's really the big reason for having temporary custody orders being so important, because when people go in, you know, it's day one, that morning you've been, you know, parenting in some fashion together, and then that afternoon you could be ripped apart and one of you could be ripped out of the child's life. And for what reason? I mean, the court knows nothing about this family. The court knows nothing about how the living arrangements have been and who's where and all these other things that go on and that finally come to terms and come to light later on in the court. But at this juncture, all they know is that yesterday or this morning, this child had two parents.
Mm-hmm.
And this child wants both of these parents in their life. And, you know, if they were not in that courtroom, there would be no one interfering with those parents and that child's relationship. So why should we at that juncture do anything other than, as the family court and as society, encourage both of these parents to continue to parent and love the child that they've brought into this world together? So that's and the reasoning for it is that, you know, because the court does know nothing about them, and it gives them like typically 90 days, oftentimes I hate to say it, more days, to prove that yes, this works and it's in the child's best interest.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Interesting. I think we're going to unwind many stories that you and others from your organization have to share with us relative to the family court system and what is going on within these families. But for the time being, let's try to keep it light. I also know that you had some successes in Boston, Massachusetts, your home state, your home area. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with National Parents Organization and the successes that you've had over the last week or two or three.
Well, right now, the biggest issue is that the Governor Deval Patrick, had put together a governor's working group on child-centered family law, the star-studded group of people with the best of talents from child psychology, from the court systems to the bar associations, and including organizations like us to broaden the scope and the kinds of interests and attention to the table. So Ned Holstein, our founder and chair, has served on this committee for almost 2 years now and have served at the governor's request and with the best of intentions, brought together a compromise bill, closing in on shared parenting. You know, we didn't get everything we wanted. They didn't get everything they wanted. But we think it's a great step forward for the children of Massachusetts, and we want this legislation passed, and we're hoping the governor wants this legislation passed. So at this juncture, we're asking all of our members and friends and family and everyone else will join in with us to call the governor's office, because that's what it's going to take right now to convince him that he needs to own this bill, that we need to get this passed by the legislature before the end of the July session.
End of the July session. So there is a time frame on
this. There is a time frame, Wes. It is ticking.
Wonderful. What is your sense of how that will play out for everyone?
Well, I'm overly optimistic at times,
mm-hmm.
but we have some good friends in the State House who are convinced, as well as, you know, who agree with us, that this is a good thing for the children of the Commonwealth. And we are hopeful that they will see beyond partisan politics and will support this legislation. So the big step at this juncture is to really keep calling the governor's office and letting them know parents in Massachusetts are watching, parents in Massachusetts believe this is good for our children. And, you know, we have the governor on tape through an interview with WGBH actually saying he enthusiastically supports this legislation. We would like him to act on that wonderful enthusiasm.
About that. Well, Rita First Adams, it is a joy to spend some time with you on the National Parents Organization inaugural show. You've given us a little insight into what's going on, and I feel compelled to let you go so that you can get back to the important needs and deeds that need to be addressed, not only in Boston, Mass., but all around this country. I want to thank you for joining us today on our program.
Well, thank you, Mike, and I look forward to many more conversations with you.
I suspect we will, and I thank you so much for joining us and sort of teeing this up. I look forward to more conversations with you relative to shared parenting and getting some definitions about what's involved in all that, and I look forward to doing that with you very soon. Thanks for joining us today on our program.
Thank you, Mike.